tired, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world, and I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left. Let me see redemption win. Let me know the struggle ends, that you can mend a heart that's frail and torn.
Sky, not the grave, inside. chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe can help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh, and every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you.
They know that Santa's on his way, toys and goodies on his sleigh, and every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly.
And so I'm offering this simple phrase kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas.
Welcome to the Help Show, everyone. I'm very happy you could join me today. I want to give a special thanks to my wonderful husband for taking care of my show last week while I'm still mending from my recent head injury. He did an awesome job. I also want to thank all my faithful listeners for being so patient with me while waiting on my full recovery so that I can get back fully on track with this Help Show. I apologize for any inconvenience this has caused any of you. Don't give up on me here at the Hope Show. I am feeling so much better this week. Things start to have been coming around a little bit for me, and the fog is finally lifting on my brain, and so I'm feeling better, knock on wood, praise God, so far. For the last couple of days, I've been a lot better. But I'll get back on track once I'm completely like my old self. Today's message, I want to talk about peace. I know Shaziz and I talk a lot about peace on our shows, but what better time than during the holidays to visit and revisit the blessings of having peace in our lives? To have peace is to find harmony among ourselves and other people. It is a lack of hostility. In today's society, people find that ever increasingly harder to find. Everyone is busy and in a hurry. People become short with one another and over the pettiest of things. Not everyone has the same opinion, so there are going to be disagreements. Sometimes some very heated arguments where things can really get out of hand. Things are said that we later regret. Maybe there is someone at work that you find it nearly impossible to get along with. Maybe you know of someone whose personality just collides with yours every time you are around them. Families have conflicts and don't get along, but outside of our own home, our own communities, the world is in chaos. There are countries at war doing battles with people across the world. People are away from their families right now while fighting these wars in other countries. The media struggles to get along. The government struggles to get along. Everywhere you turn, there is a world in chaos. So what does finding peace mean to us individually? How can you find peace in a world that seems to be lacking peace? It means that as individuals, you and I and those over there in Australia and Scotland and all over the world, it means that each one of us, you and I, we're going to make every attempt at reconciliation with the world around us and the people of the world. It means that we're going to make every attempt to build a healthy relationship and heal old wounds. It means that as individuals, we have choices in our lives. We have free will. We can choose every morning when we get up out of bed to seek out peace in our life, all day long, every single day of the year. Of course there's going to be circumstances that come up that try to rob you of your peace, but even during these difficult times, you can still choose how your mind processes circumstances. You can choose if you're going to let something ruin your whole day. You can choose how you respond. Attitude can make or break the entire situation. There are many examples of what peace is. Peace can be a tranquil, quiet moment, a sense of calm. Peace can mean freedom from civil disturbances. Peace is a state of security or a certain order of things. Peace is freedom from oppression, oppressive thoughts or emotions. Peace is harmony in personal relationships. Peace can be a mutual agreement, a concord between governments, a pact to end all hostility between those who have been to war. Peace covers many things. Peace can cover everything, just as love can cover everything. Today I want to talk about peace in interpersonal relationships specifically. What is an interpersonal relationship? It's a strong, deep, or close association between two or more people. This may vary from family, friendship, marriage, work, clubs, neighborhoods, or even places of worship. It is so, so important that whatever the relationship is, that we nurture it to the best of our ability. Humans are social people. Humans have a need to belong. We need to feel loved and accepted. We are shaped by our experiences with others. If we have a good experience, then we'll have good things to draw from that. And the same with bad experiences, then that's all we know because that's all we have to draw from. The capacity for human love gives depth to all human relationships. It brings people closer to each other physically and emotionally. One key component for a lasting interpersonal relationship is a little thing called common ground. Common ground must be established and maintained. A loss of common ground can severely damage a relationship or even end a relationship. These relationships change continuously during our existence. Like other living organisms, relationships have a beginning, a lifespan, and an ending. They tend to grow and improve as we get to know each other better, become more emotionally connected to one another, or they tend to gradually deteriorate as people drift apart, have differences of opinion, that cannot be reconciled, move on with their lives and form new relationships with others. According to studies, the natural development of a relationship, and I'm talking mostly about intimate relationships, is as follows in 5 stages. First, there is the acquaintance period. Becoming acquainted depends on previous relationships. You know, what I said earlier, those experiences, past experiences, define how our future relationships will be. So, becoming acquainted depends upon previous relationships and experiences. First impressions, how much time you are around someone or in close proximity, and a variety of other factors. If two people begin to like each other, continued interaction may lead to the next stage in the game. However, it may just end with the acquaintance stage. Secondly, there is a build-up stage. During this stage, people begin to trust and care about each other. Sometimes there is a need for intimacy, but not always. But wherever a particular relationship is going, all relationships require compatibility, a common background, a similar goals and interests. In this stage of the game, such things will also influence whether or not the relationship goes any further than the acquaintance and the build-up stage. Thirdly, there is a continuation process. This stage usually follows a mutual agreement or a commitment to a strong and long-term friendship, romantic relationship, or even marriage. This stage may last for a period of time. It varies. Continued growth and development will occur during this time. Mutual trust is very, very, very important to sustaining relationships. If you don't have trust, you don't have anything, folks. And once you lose trust, it can be almost impossible to regain, and sometimes it is impossible to regain. Then, if not closely monitored and nurtured, you may find yourself in the 4th stage that I talked about a moment ago, and this is called deterioration. Not all relationships deteriorate, but those that do tend to show signs of trouble. Such signs of trouble include boredom, resentment, and dissatisfaction. Individuals may communicate less, and they may avoid disclosing very much about themselves. Loss of trust and betrayal may take place, and a downward spiral will continue until eventually either relationship is ended or the couple recognizes their relationship is in trouble and feels that it is worth resolving the problem. And the final stage of a relationship is termination. This marks the end of the relationship. And not all relationships go through these stages. It just depends on so many things, you know. It depends upon how we interact with each other, how much we respect each other, how much we communicate, you know. It just varies, and there's just so many things to consider. But this marks the end of a relationship, either by a breakup, a death, a separation that lasts over a long period of time, but it severs all existing ties of either friendship or romantic love. How does one get from that first stage of acquaintance to the 5th stage of termination? It can be summed up by a list of interpersonal skills, which includes 7 key components to a lasting relationship. The stronger the skills that you and your partner share, the stronger your relationship will be. But relationships take 2 people. It is a 2-way street. It's never a one-sided thing. One person can't demonstrate all the right skills and do all the work and apply all these things, and yet the other half of the equation does nothing. Or is very lacking in their skills. It takes 2 people working together. both wanting to make a relationship work and willing to put forth the effort and the time to obtain a happy relationship and maintain it through the years. You can't start off great and all gung-ho in the beginning and then get too comfortable with your relationship and start taking each other for granted. If you do this, you will end up at stage 4, which is deterioration. Here are a list of some of the 7 interpersonal skills that I found when I was doing some of my research this week. And they are so vitally important for keeping a healthy relationship. Verbal communication. Verbal communication. It's the first thing that I found when doing my research, and I believe that there's a reason for that. That has to be one of the most important, right up there at the top of the priority list for keeping a healthy relationship, verbal communication. This is what we say and how we say it. A person may say something and they don't believe they said anything wrong, but the other person may perceive what was said in an entirely different way. How many times have you in your relationships, whether by friend or spouse or coworker, how many times in your life can you relate to that? That either you said something or someone said something to you and it was taken totally out of context, misunderstood. Even a certain tone of voice can be misconstrued. And then the battle is on. How many times has this happened in your intimate relationships? I'm sure you could list off quite a few times. I know I can. You might even say it happens all the time. Then you have nonverbal communication. This is what we communicate without words, such as things like body language. You have to be very aware and very cautious of your body language. Be aware of what your body is speaking to someone without your even saying a word. Crossing your arms, for example, is a clear sign of, I'm not approachable. I'm closed-minded. I'm done. I am not listening to you. I don't agree. And you can't change my mind. You must even be careful of the expressions on your face, because I have had people tell me that I have 2 expressions for everything. Now, I don't necessarily agree with this, but there must be some truth in it, because, you know, a few people have told me this. But they say I either look happy or I look mad. Of course I have all the normal emotions that everyone else has, but apparently, some of the times, if I'm not happy, then all my other feelings come off as an expression of anger on my face. I don't know. Anyway, we have to be careful of what our facial expressions are as well, because they too can be misconstrued. Then there's the listening skills. How many out there can definitely relate to listening skills? I think all of us out there, if you want to be honest with yourself, I think all of us could improve our listening skills. And again, I know I can. This is how we interpret both the verbal and the nonverbal messages sent by others. And how many of you are guilty of listening to the first couple of words that your partner or your friend is saying, and maybe you don't agree, so automatically you shut the door and you begin to think of your own quick comeback. And from the moment you shut that door and started thinking of your own quick comeback, you didn't hear a word that other person said. I'm guilty as charged. That, folks, is not demonstrating very good listening skills. Try to keep yourself fully focused and in tune with what your partner is saying. Think about it, honestly. You may think you know what they're going to say, and you may be right. But you won't know unless you give them the respect to let them finish what they were going to say, so that you will know one way or the other for sure. Besides, don't we all want that same respect? Don't we want to be listened to be heard, really, really heard? Yes, so stop assuming. And yes, I need to learn to take my own advice. I am a lot better than I used to be, but there is always room for improvement in anything. Then there's negotiation. This is a big one, too. This means that we need to work together to find a mutual, agreeable outcome. How about problem solving? We need to work with our partner to identify, define, and solve the problem. How about decision making? One person can't make all the decisions. We aren't always going to be in agreement. It's not fair to take it upon yourself to make a decision without your partner on the big issues. Now, don't get me wrong, there will be times that you will have to make an executive decision, but that is only in a have-to case, and you can't make that a habit. That's a really good way to land yourself in the proverbial doghouse with your partner. We have to explore all the options with each other to make a sound decision that is in the best interest of our relationship. When you're in a relationship, it is a team effort. It is a joint effort. There is no I in team. Team means two or more people. Then there comes to the part where you need to be assertive. It's very important that you have a strong foundation in your relationship where you feel that you can speak freely, truthfully, and you can trust your partner not to shoot you down or reject you. Once again, how many people out there in this world have felt like they can't come to their partner, or they're limited to what they can come to their partner with, because they feel like from past history that your partner is going to react a certain way, and you might be rejected, you might be shot down, you know, things like that. And once that happens a few times, there's a little bit of trust there that is lost, and it makes it harder and harder for someone to come to you and say, you know, hey, I feel like this or I feel like that. It's very important that two people communicate their values, their ideas, beliefs, opinions, and needs and wants freely. Trust, communication, unconditional love. These folks are the building blocks, the cornerstones, the very foundation of a relationship. And if you don't have this, folks, you don't have anything, and you're going to find yourself at the deterioration stage, and perhaps even the termination stage. And I assure you that if you don't have good interpersonal relationships, you're going to find it very hard to find peace in your life. Peace with yourself and peace with those that you love. I'm going to go ahead and take a short break right now and play you a few songs before I continue today's message. So I encourage you to take this time to go fill up your mug, go visit the facilities, whatever it is that you need to do, whatever strikes your fancy. And I will return in a moment.
There's no place like home for the holidays. 'Cause no matter how far away you roam, when you pine for the sunshine of a friendly gaze, for the holidays you can't beat home, sweet home.
home. I met a man who lives in Tennessee. He was heading for Pennsylvania and some homemade pumpkin pie. From Pennsylvania, folks are traveling down to Dixie's sunny shore. From Atlantic to Pacific, gee, the traffic is terrific. Oh, there's no place like home for the holidays. 'Cause no matter how far away you roam, if you want to be happy in a million ways, for the holidays, you can't beat home, sweet home.
Take a bus, take a train, go and hop an aeroplane. Put the wife and kiddies in the family car. For the pleasure that you bring when you make that doorbell ring, no trip could be too far.
I met a man who lives in Tennessee. He was heading for
Pennsylvania and some homemade pumpkin pie.
Some pumpkin pie.
From Pennsylvania, folks are traveling down to Dixie's sunny shore.
From Atlantic to Pacific,
gee, the traffic is terrific.
Oh, there's no place like home for the holiday. 'Cause no matter how far away you roam,
if you want to be happy in a million ways,
for the holidays you can't beat home, sweet home. For the holidays you can't beat home.
It's the most wonderful time of the year, with the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all, with those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all. There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time. Yes, the most wonderful time. Oh, the most wonderful time of the year.
Welcome back, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the older classic holiday music. It sure takes me down memory lane. It's always fun to revisit old times and good memories. Thank you for joining me here on The Hope Show. I'm happy I can be a part of your Saturdays. What an honor it is to be with you, wherever you are right now, all over this world. If you are just tuning in with me, today's message is about peace. Primarily, I'm talking about the peace with your interpersonal relationships, whether that is among your friends, or among family members, or among partners in an intimate relationship. Humans are social creatures. We need to feel loved, connected, accepted, needed, and that we belong. During the year, folks argue, they bicker, they become estranged, and no matter what the circumstances are that lead up to this event, it never leaves anyone with a feel-good feeling. Oftentimes, it's painful. We want to fix it. We wish we knew how. We wish someone would compromise and meet us halfway. We wish, we wish, we wish. We wish things could be different. But sometimes, no matter how bad we want something to turn out for the good, it just doesn't, for whatever reason. It's especially hard to accept during the holidays. Sometimes we are the one that is standing in the way of mending that fence with someone. Maybe it is our foolish pride. Maybe we think someone owes us an apology, and we're holding out for that. Inside our head, we are bargaining. If so-and-so does this, then I will do that. If they don't, then I'll continue withholding what they want. It becomes a tit-for-tat game of cat and mouse, a game of scorekeeping. Nobody wins in a standoff like this, but everyone loses. Wouldn't you agree? Think about what you lose when you become separated, emotionally or physically, from those that you love. Is it worth being bullheaded? Is it worth being right? Is it worth having the last word? When it all boils down to it at the end of the day, the answer is no. What has your foolish pride gained you? I can tell you what it hasn't gained you. It hasn't given you any peace. It hasn't drawn your family and your friends any closer. I believe that deep down, in the depth of the human soul, all people crave peace. It's an ideal that we never stop aspiring for. Aspire to create for ourselves and those that we love, even in the midst of all the turmoil. First, I think we have to recognize the lack of peace around us. At any given moment, we can find ourselves either on either side of injury or wrongdoing, even without any intention of doing so. This is where forgiveness and reconciliation come in. To reconcile with someone, you must first restore mutual respect between you and the person that you're having the conflict with. Why is it so hard for human beings to share mutual respect for each other? Human beings crave intimacy, need to love and be loved, and yet so many people have so much trouble in this area. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't know what a healthy relationship looks like. This saddens me, because what about those children out there that are being brought up in these relationships? These relationships are their role models for when they grow up. What if they don't have a good role model? Are they destined to have the same problems in their own intimate relationships when they grow up? These are causes for concern, for sure. There are basic rules of relationships, and be rest assured that life will test you every day. Here are some things to remember. Choose a partner wisely and well. How many of you out there have been guilty of not choosing a partner very wisely or well? Probably most of us. We are attracted to people for all kinds of reasons, but generally, they remind us of someone in our past. Perhaps a mother, a father, a brother, a sister. In the beginning, they shower us with gifts and they make us feel oh so important and warm and fuzzy inside. But what kind of character do they have? Here are a few tools that you can use to evaluate a potential partner for yourself. You can ask yourself, what kind of character do they have, as I just said? What is their personality like? What are their values and morals? How are their relationships with other people? What is the relationship between their actions and their words, their mother and their father, their siblings, people that they're especially close to, perhaps? Do they have a generous, giving, loving spirit? It's crucial that you know your partner's beliefs about relationships. Different people have different and often very conflicting beliefs about relationships. You certainly do not want to fall in love with someone that you cannot agree with on these very most basic things. You also shouldn't fall in love with someone who expects dishonesty in relationships. You might say, Beth, what are you talking about? Who would expect dishonesty in a relationship? Sometimes, folks, there are those people that we know out there that are just, their lives are full of drama. They will create in your relationship dishonesty and all these other things where none even exists. Drama. And don't confuse sex with love. A lot of people in this world do just that. They are two very different things in a relationship. Especially in the beginning of a relationship, it can oftentimes be mistaken. Know your needs and speak up for yourself. So many people run into problems because they don't speak clearly what it is that is on their mind and what their needs are. Folks, relationships are not a guessing game. And relationships are not for cowards, I can tell you that. People are not mind readers. Many people fear speaking up for themselves and therefore will camouflage certain things that they're feeling or that they're thinking. This doesn't help anybody. It leaves the door wide open for miscommunication and conflict. And folks, sometimes the very thing that you fear the most will happen. As a result, you'll have disappointments and anger, resentment. Closeness cannot occur without honesty. Respect your partner. Watch what you say in front of others. A general rule of thumb for me is to ask myself, you know, if I'm talking about my husband or if I'm saying something, would Shaziz approve of what I just said? How would it make him feel? Would I say that in front of his face? If I can't say something in front of his face, I probably shouldn't be saying it at all. If I say something, is it going to embarrass or belittle him? Is it going to follow him when he gets out in front of these people? Is it going to be something that will mar their opinion of him? If I can't say something that's going to honor and respect him, then I probably don't need to say it at all. And so many times people do say things about their loved ones or whatever, and it turns out badly. People need to be mindful of what they say in front of others, especially about your partners, your friends, and your loved ones. We shouldn't be gossiping anyway. It's not for everyone else to hear or know about. View yourself as a team, as I said earlier. And team does not have an I in it, folks. Team is two or more people working together. This means that you both recognize that you are two unique individuals with different perspectives, opinions, strengths, and weaknesses. Did you know that that is the value of a team? That is the essence of what being a team is. Your differences. Your differences are meant to complement one another, not tear each other down. But you also have to know how to manage your differences. Disagreements don't sink relationships. Name-calling, belittling, emotional and physical abuse, negative feelings and ill will, that sinks relationships. Avoiding conflict is not managing conflict either. A lot of people avoid conflict. Folks, fellow brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you that is not a good plan. Oftentimes, the end result is deterioration of a relationship, and it can even mean termination. If you really care about your relationships, you have to make every effort to be a 50-50 team player. And sometimes, it may even mean that you have to go so far as to be a 75% or 100% team player. If you're truly serious about keeping your relationship, then you'll go the extra mile. If you don't understand or like something your partner is doing, then ask them about it in a polite way. Ask them why they're doing that. Don't just assume. How quick we humans are to assume. And that's myself included. I'm not trying to pick on anybody out there. I'm including myself in that scenario as well. Solve problems as they arise. Solve problems as they arise. Don't let resentments fester. Most of the time, when something goes wrong in a relationship, it can be traced back to a hurt feeling. Can anybody relate to that? I know sometimes in the past, and maybe even now, sometimes maybe somebody will say something to me, and instantly I look like I'm mad, you know. I'm very angry about that. But if I take that outer defense off and I am truly honest with myself, I'm not angry with that person. My feelings have been hurt. And so the anger is a camouflage. It's a defense mechanism. So, when something goes wrong in your relationship, remember it can be traced back just as easily to hurt feelings. This can lead to building defenses, becoming strangers, or even enemies. A person also has to learn to negotiate. Negotiate. Most modern-day relationships no longer have certain roles cast on them by society anymore. You know, back in the day when my folks were growing up, the woman, you know, did the housework and the man did the field work or the yard work, or, you know, women had jobs like sewing or baking or being a homemaker or stay-at-home mom with their children, and the dads were the ones out there working hard and breaking their back and, you know, things like that. But in today's society, those roles have changed. They have shifted. It's up to each individual couple now to cast their own roles in their relationship, and by mutual respect and agreement. However, it is wise to remember also that people's needs do change over time. Life demands change as well. This is why it is so important to have good negotiation skills. Learn to listen, truly listen, to a person's concerns and complaints without passing judgment. Oh, how many times we pass judgment. Probably too many times in a day to count for some of us. So many times we humans just need someone to listen, We don't expect you to always fix it or fix us. We just need to vent sometimes. Work hard to maintain those healthy relationships. Realize that it's not just something you can work on once in a while when it is convenient, but it's a lifelong process that requires regular attention. Never go to sleep angry, folks. Never go to sleep angry. It's never a good idea. Talk it out or agree to disagree, but come to some resolution before you go to sleep. Because if you don't, the situation will continue to rob you of peace. It will wake you up in the morning, and you're still going to be angry, and that day is going to be a mess too. Before you go to sleep at night, folks, end your conflicts with resolution so that the next day is a fresh, brand new day. Maintain self-respect and self-esteem. It is so much easier for someone to like you or love you and want to spend time with you if you first like and love yourself. Learn to share responsibilities. Relationships will only work out when they are a two-way street, with much give and take. Much give and take. Two people also have to remember that all relationships will have their ups and downs. That's normal. Life is not always a bed of roses. You will also have to contend with the thorns sometimes too. But working together through the hard times will make a relationship stronger. If you really work on it, and if you really want it, and your partner is right there by your side, really wanting it and working on it too. Don't run away when times get difficult. When you see a person doing this, you have to wonder, or at least I do, how much they really, really, truly love that other person. If you really love someone and you really want to be with them, don't you want to work it out and not just run away? If you want to find peace with your loved ones, you first have to find mutual respect for one another and then reconcile your differences. The next thing I want to talk about is forgiveness. And I know I've talked about forgiveness on my show as well, but it's another really good topic to revisit because folks need to be reminded all the time. Forgive, 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 forgive. That is a very important for our inner peace. But I'm going to go ahead and stop for a moment and take another break. This is a good place to do that. So I'm going to go ahead and play you another couple of songs.
The mistletoe last night. She didn't see me creep down the stairs to have a peep. She thought that I was tucked up in my bedroom fast asleep. Then I saw Mommy tickle underneath his beard so snowy white. What a laugh it would have been if Daddy had only seen Mommy kissing Santa Claus last night.
I saw Mommy kissing Santa Claus underneath
was a jolly happy soul, with a corncob pipe and a button nose, and his eyes made out of coal. Frosty the snowman made the children laugh and play, and were they surprised when before their eyes he came to life that day. There must have been some magic in that old silk hat they found, for when they placed it on his head, he began to dance around. Oh, Frosty the snowman was alive as he could be, and the children say he could laugh and play just the same as you and me. Frosty the snowman knew the sun was hot that day, so he said, let's run and we'll have fun before I melt away. So down to the village with a broomstick in his hand, running here and there all around the square, saying, catch me if you can. He led them down the streets of town, right to the traffic cop, and he only paused a moment when he heard him holler stop. For Frosty the snowman had to hurry on his way, but he waved goodbye, saying, don't you cry, I'll be back again someday. Dumpity-dump, bumpity-dump, bump, look at Frosty go. Dumpity-dump, bumpity-dump, over the hills of snow.
Welcome back, all my listeners. I certainly hope you're enjoying all this holiday music as much as I am. I never tire of listening to holiday music. It seems to boost my spirits, and it just puts me in a totally different frame of mind. Starting at the beginning of November each year, there's always a few channels on cable TV that play nothing but good, wholesome family holiday movies. A few of those channels are the Up Television Channel and the Hallmark Channel. I don't know if any of you are familiar with those, or if you have those, if you have cable, or if you have those channels on your cable, but those are some really awesome TV channels. And if you haven't checked them out and you have the opportunity and the ability to do so, you should really check those out, because they start at the beginning of November and they play right up until Christmas Eve on December 24th. And then you have the music channels, which are for us like up in the 800 channel range. And they have this one particular station that is dedicated to nothing but holiday music, no commercials. And I don't know about you folks, but I do not like commercials. My husband is always trying to get me to listen to or to watch a commercial because, you know, he just thinks these things are a hoot. And and I just, you know, I always have something to do or somewhere to be when there's a commercial. But, oh my goodness, I am in pure heaven when I am listening to these holiday channels and on television and radio and so on and so forth. And thankfully, Shaziz likes the holiday cheer as much as I do, so I don't get on his nerves while I'm playing these things all the time. But anyway, we are on the last hour of my show today, and if you're just tuning in, we have been talking about finding peace in our interpersonal relationships, such as with our friends, our family, co-workers, our spouse, etc. It's not always easy to maintain peace in our lives. In fact, it can be a lot of work sometimes. We should strive to make peace with our loved ones all year long. But it is especially sad at the holidays that still families, friends, and even marriages cannot work out their differences. It just puts a cloud over the otherwise beautiful birthday celebration of our Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm only human. I'm no different than you. Situations arise in my own life, too. That brings me to the next segment of my show, forgiveness. You cannot have peace without forgiveness. You cannot have peace without forgiveness. Why is it so hard to forgive? Is it perhaps because we feel like maybe we're a doormat for someone else's careless or thoughtless words or behavior? Perhaps we don't feel valued? Or is it that we don't feel respected or appreciated? Maybe we feel belittled or unimportant Maybe our feelings have been badly hurt by someone that we love and we trust. But things can be said even by people that we aren't especially fond of. Something seemingly unforgivable can be done by any person, no matter who they are. Forgiveness is an intentional and voluntary process by which humans go about letting go of their negative emotions, such as seeking out revenge on someone who did us wrong. Forgiveness does not mean that you're going to immediately forget the offense that was done against you, but it does mean that you are willing to try to put it behind you, to come to some kind of acknowledgement, maybe trade apologies as an attempt to restore a bruised relationship. Sometimes people are so bullheaded, again, myself included. No one is willing to make the first move toward peace. But if we don't learn to forgive those that have hurt us, it is toxic to our body, and it will continue to rob us of our joy and our peace. All those negative emotions will fester inside of us, slowly eating away at our soul. There has to come a time, folks. There has to come a time when one of us makes a move. One of us has to step up and be the bigger person. That doesn't automatically make you the weaker person, and it doesn't mean you're admitting that you are the one at fault. Society would like you to believe that, but it is simply not true. Don't let Satan make you believe his lies. Sometimes people spend their whole lifetime fighting with a family member. We grow old. One of us passes away. And then what have we gained? Nothing. But you have wasted a lot of precious time when maybe if one of you had tried harder, it could have been reconciled. Yet there are other people who are estranged from their family members, and it's not even by their own choice. Maybe a family member has rejected you. Maybe no matter how hard you try, your family member is still unwilling to have you in their lives. That is very painful indeed. Nobody likes rejection, especially not from your loved ones. There will be many, many families this holiday season that have not seen or spoke to their family in years. Time is wasting, folks. Fellow brothers and sisters, time is wasting. No one is getting any younger. My only suggestion, if you are in this position yourself, is don't give up. Don't give up on those people. Keep trying to get through to your loved ones. Maybe you're thinking right now, but Bev, I have tried and tried and tried for some 20 years. And every time I am met with rejection, I'm tired of trying. Nothing is ever going to change. Folks, I have empathy for your situation. I wish with all my heart I could resolve those issues for you. I could take that burden upon myself. But you know what? If you have consistently tried for all those years to reconcile and your loved one is still not coming around, that is not your fault. That is not your fault. Don't kick yourself for that if you've been trying. That is on them, not you. You have made every effort at reconciliation. I know that doesn't make you feel any better. It doesn't resolve anything. But at least when you lay your head down at night, you can rest easy knowing that you are not the one who is choosing to abandon your loved one. You are not the one standing in the way of reconciliation. You are not the one in the way of there being a resolution. There is obviously a barrier. Sometimes the only thing you can do is to choose to forgive the ones hurting you so that you can move forward with your life, so that you can finally find some sort of peace with your life. You can choose to hold on to grudges, resentments, thoughts of revenge. But folks, I'm here to tell you, you're only hurting yourself even more in the end. Or you can embrace forgiveness and you can move on. Those are your options. Quite literally, those are your options. Nearly everyone has been hurt by the actions or the deeds of another person or the words of another person. These wounds can leave you feeling full of negativity. But if you don't choose to practice forgiveness, you may just be the one who pays the most deadliest price of all, the most expensive price of all. But letting go of grudges and bitterness can make way for such things as compassion and kindness, peace and joy. And that leads to healthier relationships, greater spiritual, physical, and mental well-being, less stress, anxiety, and hostility. Wouldn't you like to feel those things this holiday season and into the new year and beyond? Wouldn't you like to feel less anxious, less stressful? Wouldn't you like to be filled with compassion and kindness and peace and joy? Wouldn't you like to let go of that hostility that's been eating you alive for so long? Wouldn't you like to experience lower blood pressure? Less depression? What if you are that person out there who has been taken over by alcohol and substance abuse? For those of you that are drowning in your alcohol and your drugs to try to kill the pain of something that someone has done to you, or the fact that your family member or your loved one or friend or whomever it may be, you know, is rejecting you. So how do we reach a state of forgiveness? One, you must understand that forgiveness is a commitment to a process of change. It's a choice. It is a choice. You have to be purposeful with your choice. Consider reflecting on the value of forgiveness and what the importance of that means in your life at this very given time, this very moment in your life, whatever situation you're in. Reflect on the value of what forgiveness means to you right now. Be honest with yourself. Reflect on the facts of the situation. How have you reacted? What role do you play in this situation? How have the combination of the two things affected your life, your health, your well-being, even your family? You know, let's say, for example, you and your mom and your dad don't talk anymore, and you have children. And they've never seen Grandma and Grandpa. That doesn't just affect you. That affects your wife, your husband, your children. That affects everyone. Forgiveness. When you are ready, then you will actively and purposefully choose to move away from the role of a victim and release the control and the power that that offending person has had over you and the situation for whatever duration of time in your life. I know there are many factors in your situation. I know it is not all cut and dry, as I may make it out to seem. I have a situation in my own life right now, and I can tell you that it really isn't all that cut and dry. It is really not all that easy. There are many factors to consider, many emotions to be dealt with. Somehow, though, somewhere down deep in your soul, you have to find rationality. Rationality in the situation, even when your emotions are in turmoil. It's easy to lose respect and trust for someone when they hurt you. But you cannot lose sight of trying to still be respectful toward your offender, even when it hurts. Folks, it may not be the feel-good feeling that you want or that you like, but it's the right thing to do. Two wrongs do not make a right. And when you really want to hold on to your resentments and your grudges and revenge, you really have to look at the situation with an open mind instead. You have to ask yourself to look at the big picture, to try to put yourself in that other person's shoes. Try to visualize where they're coming from. Is there anything that you can do differently to change the result? Sometimes, no matter how you look at the situation, it still just doesn't make sense. It may seem ridiculous or foolish to you. It's hard not to be bitter about what has or is happening. It is hard to be in the presence of those who have hurt you. It's hard to maintain your composure when you're around these folks. Trust me. I know. I am dealing with it right now myself. Quite frankly, I'm probably not handling it in a way that I should be. Physically, I maintain. But emotionally, that's another matter. There's some hard feelings between myself and someone who is very important to me, a family member. There is a cloud over one branch of my family this holiday season. So please don't think I don't understand where you are at in this journey in your life, because I do. I'm sure we're feeling a lot of the same emotions, the same turmoil, the same feeling of wrestling against good versus evil. But folks, I ask you, how important is it to you to have peace in your life, in your family, in your marriage, your friendships, people at work, co-workers, perhaps even your church family? Folks, fellow brothers and sisters, Jesus paid the price for our sins there on that cross. Our debt is paid. Our debt is paid. We have been forgiven. Our Heavenly Father shows grace and mercy toward us every single day that we are alive. Do we deserve it? Have we earned it? No. Does that change anything between our Heavenly Father and us, His children? No. He still loves us unconditionally, even when we turn away from Him. Does this scenario seem familiar? Does it seem like there's some parallels going on there? He is our Father, and we are His children. And we falter and fall every day, but He loves us unconditionally and gives us grace and forgiveness. And folks, right now, if you have a loved one, a family member, a mother, a father, a brother, a sister, a cousin, a husband, a wife, a child, a co-worker, a best friend that you're not getting along with right now, think about that. Think about what our Heavenly Father has done and has given and still continues to give to us every day. Before you cast stones, look at your own reflection in the mirror and ask yourself, am I perfect? Am I without blame, fault, or blemish? Getting a little emotional here, folks. Today's message is just as much for me as it is for you. The good book tells us we all fall short of the glory. Not one of us is without a blemish. To err is human. Please, think about today's message. Take it to heart. Is there any one of you out there today that is out of sorts with a loved one or a friend? Is there anybody out there that feels badly hurt by someone and you're finding it very, very difficult to move forward, to let it go, to forgive? Is there anyone out there who maybe needs to take a long, long look at themselves and confront someone? Maybe offer an apology? Is there anyone out there who is estranged from their family? Their family has rejected them, and you don't understand why. Maybe you have a generation gap. Maybe you have a mother or a father that's old. And maybe there's just something there. It's just a generation gap. Maybe they haven't moved on with the times and realized that times change, people change, things change. The way you dress changes. The way you look changes, but that doesn't mean you're any less of a person. And that you shouldn't love those brothers and sisters out there. Maybe you need to find an apology in your heart to offer someone, or maybe someone needs to apologize to you. Look deep within yourself. Can you think of any reason that you may have given someone to reject you? Try to place yourself in someone else's shoes. Could you perhaps been offensive to someone else? Maybe you hurt their feelings unintentionally, and they are reciprocating with you with rejection. I don't know what your personal situation is out there today, folks, but I do hope with all of my heart that you're able to take something away with today's message, that I might shed some light on your situation. Maybe today's message has been a reminder to you. Maybe today's message has prompted you to give something another chance. Maybe in today's message I've uncovered something that you see in yourself that you need to work on. Or that maybe I have enlightened you to what your role has been in a particular situation. I sincerely hope with all of my heart that you have received something helpful from today's message. I sincerely hope you and your loved ones, your friends, can find a way, somehow, some way, to reconcile your differences and find peace for this holiday season and for the future. Family and friends are so, so very important to all of us. I'm going to go ahead and play another song, and then I'm going to open up the lines to my listening audience for those of you who have something on your mind, something that you would like to share with the world. So after these two songs are played, simply call in via Shaziz's Skype address to visit with me and my husband after this break. We would love to hear from you folks. We love all of you. So please, after these two songs, call in and share something with us. Visit with us.
The opposite of how you feel when the pain they cause is just too real. Takes everything you have to say the word forgiveness. Forgiveness. It flies in the face of all your pride and moves away the mad inside. It's always anger's own worst enemy. Even when the jury and the judge say you got a right to hold a grudge, it's the whisper in your ear saying set it free. Forgiveness. the bitterness away. It can even set a prisoner free. There is no end to what its power can do. So let it go and be amazed by what you see through eyes of grace. The prisoner that it really frees is you. Forgiveness.
Go back.
Welcome back, folks. Welcome to the Hope Show. And I have my husband here, Shaziz, with me. And now is the time that if anybody would like to join us and call in via Shaziz's Skype address, we would love to hear from you. Shaziz, is there anything else that you'd like to join in here?
Well, listening to your show and the subject and all that brings a lot of things to mind. I was standing at my cousin's funeral some time back, and I was talking about to the entire family, which is growing on a daily basis. We've got grandbabies, and cousins have kids, and so on and so forth. The newest generation is on the way, and there's more to come. But it's always struck me odd how it always takes a tragedy to bring a family together. You know, if the world had a massive calamity where everyone was absolutely forced to work with one another, that would be probably about the only time you get everybody on board to trying to do what's right. You get a lot of crazy folks out in this world that do a lot of bad stuff, and then they get put in a position to where there's a human life on the line. And for some reason or another, they are able to dig down deep inside to that bit of goodness that I know everybody's capable of and do the right thing at the right time. Most of the time, whenever you're in a feud with somebody, there's some sort of miscommunication going on there. Sometimes it's not even your fault. Beverly and I watched a really good movie some time back. It was about a young couple that was in love, and the girl had polio, and the father was a mailman. And the young man wanted to marry the young lady, and the father didn't want the young man to marry the young lady because she had polio. Oh, you might catch polio or whatever. Anyway, she never died from the disease. Later on, they got old.
The boy was sent away.
Yeah, the boy was sent away to the military, and they got old. And he wrote her every day a letter and tried to tell her how much he loved her and all this kind of stuff. But
and she always waited on his return.
Yeah, she waited for his from any message that he would send to let him know, let her know that she was he was alive. Of course.
And that he would come back for her.
Yeah, the message never came because just so happened that the boy's, who's now a man, his father was the mailman and never delivered the message. So they got to be old folks and had grandchildren of their own, and they hated each other's guts and weren't married and missed out on the entire lifetime for some miscommunication and somebody in between the whole deal that kept them apart all them years. So when I hear Beverly's show about forgiveness and all the different stuff there, it reminds me of why it's so important for you not to be holding grudges against one another. I mean, the society that we live in is obviously deteriorated to the point where it's just it's a mess. So you got enough to contend with on the outside of your door, and you don't need to drag all that on the inside of your door. You take these relationships you got and you build the best you can with it, and when somebody stumbles and makes a mistake, you just you move on. I keep saying this, and I hope that someday somebody takes it to heart, that every single day our Creator found it worthy to give us a sign that we had a whole brand new slate. Every morning you get up, the sun rises. And you could either repeat the mistakes that you made from yesterday, or you could go on and create a better world for you and everyone around you and the world as a whole. So you have choices to make. Repeat yesterday, or move on to tomorrow for a whole lot better things that you can do for one another.
You know, I'm going to backtrack for just a moment about this movie that Shaziz and I watched, and it was just... it was so heartbreaking to watch this movie, and I just about cried like a baby at the end, because this little boy, I think he was a family member, I'm not sure, but he was probably about 9 or 10, and this old couple had been brought together for whatever reason, and the little boy was listening to them fight and argue, as he had done so many times in his short life. And he loved both of them equally, and it really bothered him to listen to this couple fight. And he raced outside this building that they were in, and he ran right into traffic, and a car hit him. And he was in the hospital, and I think this woman had maybe been a doctor at one point, maybe she still was, but anyway, he was paralyzed from the neck down, and there was no chance that he would ever walk again. And she had she had knowledge that there was this
new medicine that could help.
This new medicine, you know, that it wasn't out on the market yet, but it was fairly new. But this new medicine that might be administered by injection to this little boy, and that there might be a slim chance that he would recover and that he would walk again. And the old man, still holding the grudge and hating this woman for, you know, ruining his life. They both thought that the other had ruined the other's life, you know. They'd been so in love. He did not... The boy, I guess, had lived with him or was living with him. And so he was still holding on to this grudge about this woman, and he was uncompromisable, unwilling to let this woman administer this drug to this little boy. And as it came to be, you know, they were even feuding in the church pew at the hospital. And how it came to be that they found out that this man's father had done this was that they started arguing again, and they were calling names and calling each other names and you know, saying, well, you did this, well, you did that, well, you did this, well, you didn't do that, and so on, back and forth, bickering. And it came to be that the girl said, I waited my whole life for you. You never came back. You never even called. You never wrote a letter. You never, never, never. And the guy says, what do you mean? He says, I wrote you letters all the time. He said, you should have had hundreds of letters. And she was like, well, I never received them, you know, and back and forth, back and forth. And come to find out, all of a sudden, the light bulb came on in their head. His father was the mailman. And it became evidently clear at that point that the father had...
not delivered the message.
Yeah, he had not delivered that message. He had not delivered one letter. When he saw them in the mail, he put them in his pocket and destroyed them or something, because they were never delivered. And all these years was wasted, from the time that they were teenagers all the way up to the time that they were old folks. They spent all that time resenting and hating one another. And they loved each other from the very beginning, and things turned out as they did, and it was no fault of their own. It was a huge miscommunication.
So, why spend an entire lifetime always wondering what if, whenever you got a voice that you could actually go up there and you could talk things out with the person you want to talk to? You know, Beverly was touching on that earlier about, you know, reconciliation. You can't reconcile if you're not willing to open your mouth. You have to put yourself out there on the line. Maybe you're going to get rejected 10,000-15,000 times before you finally get one result that you like. But in the long run, it's worth not wasting an entire lifetime with your family or your friends or your neighbors or whatever on something that could have been avoided by a little bit of communication. I keep talking about the power of the spoken word. You can't even possibly imagine. You need to sit down and contemplate on that one day about how powerful words are really are. And some people in abusive situations will tell you that they'd rather take a beating than have the cussing. They would rather be beat up than have to listen to somebody talk them down into the dirt. You can with your voice, you can lift somebody to the highest points of heaven, or you can drop them straight to the gates of hell with your words. And so that's a lot of power, you know, and we all have that power. So to choose to use that power wisely and let go of the grudges, and the next morning you wake up and the sun comes up and know you got a clean slate. You know, you can't change anything from yesterday. Yesterday's yesterday, and you can't get it back. But you can change tomorrow. You got 100% control just by the choices that you make in life.
You know, and I want to touch on just a little bit on something that I said in my show, you know, about body language and tone of voice and things like that, you know. And don't get me wrong, my husband and I have a wonderful relationship, but we have, you know, things that come up, little things, you know, too, that we work out and everything, and miscommunications, and
yeah, she's gonna drive me to drinking.
Well, he's the reason I got all my gray hairs. But anyway, last week, you know, we had a little miscommunication, and if we hadn't have opened up when we did, you know, I would have festered on that, because I had asked him if he would do me a favor, because I wasn't feeling well, and I had asked him if he would please vacuum the floors for me. Well, you know, he had a traumatic brain injury whenever he was in the Navy, and he has a lot of memory problems, and so he really has to stay on task, or he loses track of what he's doing. And, you know, you can't keep telling him, you know, piling on the list of things that you want him to do, or the things he needs to do, or whatever, because then he's going to forget something in that list of to-dos, you know. It just throws a monkey wrench in his whole thinking. And this particular day, I threw a monkey wrench in his to-do list, because I asked him if he would please vacuum the floor for me. And, you know, he kind of went, okay, I'll get back to it in a minute. Well, that tone of voice kind of thing, that body language, I misunderstood that to mean that I was being a nuisance to him. You know, that, okay, you know, if I really have to, you know, that I was just being a pain in the butt to him, that I was being a nuisance for asking. And it kind of hurt my feelings, you know, and I kind of got on my ear a little bit, you know. I may have had a little attitude myself. And we sat down and we talked about it, and it wasn't that at all. You know, it had nothing to do with whether he wanted to do it for me or not. It was the fact that he had set a schedule for himself of things that he was doing, and he had repeated and repeated and repeated that in his head, and he was on a mission. And I threw a monkey wrench in the works, and he nearly forgot everything else he was going to do just because I asked him that. And I have a problem, you know, even though I know that he has memory problems and things, and I because I don't have that problem, it's a hard thing to live with someone who does have that problem, and it's easy to forget that just because your mind doesn't work like that, someone else's does. And so I have to constantly step back, you know, and remember that his brain doesn't work like mine.
It's easy. Let me finish my task and then ask me to do the next thing.
So, you know, it's just little things like that. You know, remember the body language. Remember, you know, what you're saying without saying it, so to speak.
But either way, that one little bitty communication gap right there could have made the whole difference in our relationship if we hadn't sat down and worked it out.
You know, and it was something petty. You know, it wasn't nothing big at all. But it was a thing, you know. It was something there. But, you know, like I said, we sat down, we talked about it, and like he said, you know, it could have made or broke the whole entire day, you know. It could have gotten out of hand.
We got a mutual friend that we kind of give advice to every once in a while about relationships kind of stuff. And I was talking about how a lot of people in relationships, they keep scorecards on one another, you know. And there may be something small. I didn't take out the trash. I didn't do the dishes. I didn't vacuum the floor, whatever. I said I was going to do something, and I forgot. And then this list keeps on growing and growing, and they keep on marking on their scorecard. And then when it comes down time for a little dispute, suddenly that grudge of all the different things that didn't get accomplished comes out, and it, you just took a minor incident and turned it into a mountain, you know, that started off with a molehill. So, you got to throw the scorecards in the burn pile, because all they're going to do is make the situation worse.
Scorekeeping, you know, I like to talk about every once in a while on my show about this thing called the love bank. And that's where you deposit loving things into your love bank. You know, every day you do something nice for your loved one or your family member or your friend or your coworker or whatever. It could be just a simple hug. You know, it doesn't have to be anything time consuming or anything like that. But every time you do something kind for someone or something loving for someone, then you are putting love into that love bank. But if you're constantly keeping score with somebody, you are making withdrawals from that love bank, and you're going to deplete that love bank, and you're going to end up in one of those situations, one of those stages that I talked about earlier in my show, of like the deterioration or the termination stage.
You know, at the end of the road, you could either have wonderful memories or you could have a whole list of regrets. And, you know, there's a couple episodes in our lives where I keep trying to remind folks that, you know, certain individuals are getting old and, you know, they're from a different generation. They may not see eye to eye with you. They may never see eye to eye with you. But, to allow yourself to just walk away from that, and then at the end, you know, I should have spent more time with this individual. I should have said something or could have done something. You know, been down that road, seen a lot of stuff. And I can tell you, from standing in front of my entire family at my cousin's funeral and talking about how, you know, him and I would be apart for so many years, and then when we were together, it was as if we never even left one another. But him and I were under the same mindset. The love was universal for all our family. And I wanted to point out to our family that it should never take a tragedy to bring an entire family together. And 9 times out of 10, it's over something simple, some miscommunication, some little tiny, insignificant, you could have stepped over it and moved on kind of thing.
You know, I know of a person who is an elderly person, and their son, you know, has had some lifelong grief with that person, and I don't know what that is, but and neither does the older person. You know, they don't either. I mean, they're old now. They don't remember whatever happened, but you know, and it may not have been anything at all. But that person said something to me a while back that they said, you know, I really wish I knew what it was that I'd done to that person, because I would fix it, you know, because they're looking at their mortality and they're getting old and they don't want to go to their grave with that on their mind, that they did something that gave that their son ill will, you know, that put something, a barrier between them for their entire life, you know, and this old man, you know, he was just speaking to me one day, and he said, I'll probably go to my grave, and he had tears in his eyes, and he said, I just wish I knew what I did to my son, that he doesn't want to spend that much time with me anymore. And there's that lack of communication, because the son apparently does not want to reveal what that was, you know, and you know, I think that's a pride issue, you know. I think someone's pride is getting in their way of their better judgment.
I always talk about how powerful love is. I hear a lot of you talk about how powerful love is. It's, to me, if you don't believe there's evil in the world, and step back and look and watch and see how much evil would always try to interfere with something as glorious as love that could be shared freely, you know, without any wants of return. Or the things that we do for each other here on all these networks, the ideas and views we express to one another, and the love and the compassion and companionship, and it's just amazing. We come from all points of the globe, and here we are. you know, with a good message to share to the world.
And another thing, you know, I want to point out, too, is, you know, Satan is in this world, and he is working double and triple time. And he has lots and lots of helpers out there, you know, and and he's everywhere, and his helpers are everywhere, and they're, you know, they don't want you to have joy, they don't want you to have peace, they want to keep that turmoil and bad feelings festering. You know, they're happy when you're not happy.
Like I say, can't we all just get along?
And you know, Shaziz and I, we went to we were involved in a Bible study not too long ago. It's been several months ago, but it was a Bible study on marriages, you know, and it was, you know, it was for people who were having trouble, people who were not having trouble, people who were having, you know, that were very happily married, you know. It was for everyone. There was something there for everyone to take back. And I got to talking to some of the other ladies, you know, during breaks and so on and so forth, and even in the church. You know, I mean, let's keep it real, folks. No matter where you are at in this world, even in church, let's keep it real. The ladies were finding that they were having more arguments than before on the way to church to this Bible study on marriage. Huh. You think Satan had a little bit of something to do on that? He didn't want people. He didn't want couples to be happily married. He didn't want couples to have peace. He wanted to stir the pot just a little bit before they got to that marriage Bible study.
Kind of like that little picture of Jerry Springer when he was a little kid trying to instigate a fight so that he could see a fight.
Well, folks, this has been a wonderful, wonderful message, and I certainly hope you guys have enjoyed it, and this hour is coming to a close, and I have to wrap this message up. I want to tell you, though, that Shaziz and I love all of you from the very bottoms of our heart. And from our house to yours this Christmas, this holiday season, and into the future, into the new year, folks, Ty and I both want to wish you a very, very blessed Merry Christmas and a very happy New Year. We want you to have all the richest of blessings, full of good health and laughter and cheer and joy and warmth and love. And most of all, we want you to have, you know, forgiveness in your heart this year. And we want you to have to share a very, very wonderful celebration with us of our Savior's birth, Jesus Christ, this year, for He truly is the reason for the season.
And no matter what, if you think you're alone, you always got friends on this side of the globe, so if you're feeling down, need somebody to talk to, you know how to get a hold of us.
I know some of you out there, because I've spoke with some of you personally, and I know that you feel lonely, and I know that you're separated from your families, and it's not by your choice. It's not because of something that, it's not the way you want it to be. And, you know, I'm sure there are probably many, many other people out there who are in the same boat, but just a few that I know of. And, folks, Shaziz and I both want you to know right this moment that it may feel lonely, you may feel alone, but you are not alone. That we are reaching out to you from our house to yours, and we love you, and we want the very best for you. And so with that said, God...
Keep the ball rolling and join in on the Knights of the Round Table tomorrow. It's just a shameless plug for the Knights of the Round Table tomorrow.
God bless each and every one of you. Until we meet again next Saturday, same time, same place.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
I wish you a Merry Christmas, I wish you a Merry Christmas, I wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Oh, bring us some figgy pudding, oh, bring us some figgy pudding, oh, bring us some figgy pudding and bring it out here.
We won't go until we got some. We won't go until we got some. We won't go until we got some. So bring some of you. We wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Oh, bring us some figgy pudding, oh, bring us some figgy pudding, oh, bring us some figgy pudding and bring it out here. We wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.